Hello, my name is Vanessa Bannerly and I'm CEO of We Are Tech Women. I'm delighted to introduce She Talks Tech, which is a podcast which brings to life the personal experiences of women and men working in tech with a focus on diversity, equity and inclusion. We also include the odd technical topic to keep you abreast of innovating areas of tech that may be of interest to you. So this is a brand new season, season six, and we're delighted to focus on a number of incredible women looking at their career and sharing their top tips for success. In this episode of She Talks Tech, we hear from Yanni Chun, who's a Senior Director of Product at Rapid API. She is also an angel investor. She's a keynote speaker all over the world, so we're delighted to have us with us today. So hello, Yanni, and thank you for joining us. So please tell us a little bit about you and the backstory to your career.
Yeah, definitely. Hello, everyone. My name is Yanni, and I'm originally from Hong Kong. Somehow ended up here in Germany. I've lived in several places from Asia. I also studied in the US and worked there for a while. And now I'm in Europe. I didn't actually know of computer science as a field. In Hong Kong, the success story very much looks like being a doctor, being a lawyer, or in business. And that's really the epitome of how success could look like. So one of the reasons why I left there is because I felt like I wanted to explore something more, and I wasn't ready to commit to a career in these three fields before I get a sense of my interest. So I've always been interested in sciences, but I didn't know what that would mean for me in terms of career. Not sure about the scientist route. I'm thinking about something more practical. So going to the US, I actually started out with an engineering major. However, it's really like by chance that I got a chance to attend the Grace Hopper conference in the US. I got a scholarship from the school. I took introduction to computer science at that time, and I had the opportunity. And from there, what I see is that I see people like me doing things that they really enjoy. And I see a lot of opportunities because in computer science, it's not really just about like programming or coding, not just that, right? It's very much about problem solving. And what really appeals to me is solving real world problems in a relatively small time frame. When I was doing engineering, you know, making an LED light up could be a matter of like days or weeks, you know, doing a project. But from web development, that was an area that I started becoming interested in computer science. You know, we were solving problems in the hackathon. In 2 days, we managed to build an app that, for example, rate the dorm room because we pay so much tuition, right? We might as well get a good dorm room and get the best value of our money. And that's really how I got into computer science because of like a real world aspect. And I think coming from a background in Hong Kong, I actually went to an all-girls school. It's very interesting dynamics. So like going to the US, we have a lot of these talks about, you know, women in tech. In Hong Kong, I didn't feel that because I went to an all-girls school. I just believed there are people who are interested in sciences and there are people who are not, right? And I don't associate that with gender. But coming to the US or even in Europe, then I hear a lot of like, oh, you know, stereotypically, women are not supposed to like be interested in that. And I think it's an interesting juxtaposition because like before, I didn't learn it that way. And in a way, I think it limits me less.
That's so interesting to hear about that story and kind of how it shapes your career. A lot of women that we've talked to about leadership come from very, very different backgrounds, and they've arrived at their tech careers through many, many different routes. But it sounds like you've always been passionate about science, like obviously doing your degree in computer science and tech. Tell me a little bit more about other things that you may have kind of got involved in.
I have always been interested in art. When I was in university, but we didn't have a design major at the Swarthmore College where I went to. So I actually took some classes with UPenn. We were in a joint program. And at one point I went for a design exchange in Barcelona. And I was thinking about changing majors. But like to me, these two things are very similar in nature. It's about problem solving. So I think my interest in computer science or tech is less so on, you know, actually the programming, the syntax, but more about, okay, now you have a problem. How do you handle that, right? And hence now moving into a leadership role for me is the same. Instead of solving problems more on like software, now I'm solving organizational problems using different kinds of solution. But I think the process is mostly the same.
I think what's so interesting about this is the perception of others that you're either an arts person or a science person, you know, that the two don't necessarily combine, but they clearly do. Do you agree with me?
I think so. Like from my experience, engineers, or being an engineer and also working with engineers in general, I find them to be very creative people, and they have a bit of like an artistic edge to it, right? Because like you feel attached to the program you write or the solution that you're exploring to solve a problem. And in that, I find that to be very similar to art, right? And hence, I think, you know, the stereotype that we see in the media about computer science is so one-sided, right? I feel like this is really like an art when you come up with a solution to solve a problem that could bring an impact. I do feel, and I have experienced the difficulty being a woman in tech, right? Like in my career, there are people who, you know, question your ability just because of your gender or how you look, because, well, I guess I don't look like a typical programmer, and for them, it's hard to reconcile, right? So like you do have to, I feel like, work harder to prove yourself that you fit in and that you belong in this area. But I don't know, gradually I also think of it in a different way. It's just like, okay, well, I see people in this field who are competent and great, but then I also see, okay, well, there are people who are not that great at their job that fits in that traditional stereotype. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I can do a better job. So why don't I just go and try? And maybe, you know, one day I can be in that position too. So that has been my thinking.
Okay, so let's actually talk about stereotypes, you know, because there's such a perception around women in tech engineers, you know, women in engineering, that, you know, we look a certain way. So can you tell me a little bit more so we can rebuke that stereotype?
Okay, yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on that. And like, there are different phases. I think in the beginning, I do try to fit in as well. And at some point, you feel like, well, I'm just different, right? If you ask me to wear a hackathon t-shirt every day to work, that's just not how I am like, right? Also, but I don't know, like, as I progress in my career, I also hope to be, you know, to challenge that thinking a bit, right? The stereotype of, you know, the Star Wars thing and being a geek, it has nothing to do with your competency as a problem solver, as I mentioned, as an engineer, right? And you have different ways to think about what an engineer means. Is it just about like syntax, how geeky you get over like several programming language? Or in terms of the business, if you think about the engineer's role, it's really, you are hired to solve a business problem. How do you think of these bigger strategies of, you know, how do you complement the technical side of things with the business as well? And there are much more to experience, I think, as an engineer. So I don't know, I feel like I try to, well, maybe the rebellious nature, right? I just want to challenge that a bit as well, like from my experience as, you know, like me maybe acting differently. And, you know, this is how an engineer should look like now.
So let's talk about how we kind of put a team together, because sometimes, you know, that it used to be people that we had in our teams had all the technical credentials for the job, but that's kind of changing. Sometimes it's kind of what else you can bring to the team. For example, if it's in a more non-technical role. So tell me a little bit about how you build teams.
So like, I do believe in like building teams that consists of people from different backgrounds, right? Because as I mentioned, it's really like a problem solving exercise in the end. So you want to have a composition of people who have, you know, who have different experiences, and they can identify with the users much better as well in terms of gender, race, ethnicity, like where they come from. A lot of these factors can influence how people think, and as well as like how they're being brought up, and their experience would influence what kind of solutions they come up with. And I think it also, like, it's an aspect to empathize with your users as well. And it's unlikely that your users will just be like white cis men, right? So I think the composition of the team and like where they have been definitely would reflect on the quality of the product you would build. But I think in the end, it comes down to the inclusion aspect as well. Because if you get people into the door and they don't feel comfortable that they can express their ideas, then everything is in vain.
There is always this issue that, you know, we've had in some of our focus groups at We Are Tech Women, where women cite imposter syndrome, a term that you're familiar with.
Sometimes I also see that, like, for me, I do experience imposter syndrome as well, right? Okay, so let me explain the thinking I have there is, when you've like fail at doing something, would you ask yourself, is it because you're a woman or because you're just not good at this thing yet? I think it's also very much about growth mindset. Like, would you think about, I'm just set out to fail? Or do you think that right now I'm not enough, but I need to practice to get there? I think for like people who satisfy the traditional stereotype better, they wouldn't ask themselves the question, right? They wouldn't be like, oh, is it because of my identity or like my gender that I don't do well? No, that never comes up. But as a woman, then a lot of people tell you, well, you're not supposed to be there. Then you ask yourself, oh, maybe I maybe like did the software wrong? I caused an incident. Is it because I'm just not good enough, right? And I faced that too. But like I think reading one book called Talent is Overrated also changed my mindset a bit. We talk a lot about like growth mindset, and the book is saying that you're not born with a talent, but oftentimes in your life, different acknowledgement would cause you to focus more and practice more in one aspect, and then you get better and better, right? And I firmly believe in that after reading that book. I think it's also a more positive way of viewing things, right? Instead of thinking that intrinsically I'm just not born to do that, well, that's a very heavy statement. Instead, you can think about, have I spent enough time to perfect my skills in this area? And I think a lot of about gender is also about exposure. Like a lot of tech bros, I think they played a lot of video games growing up, and they had exposure from a very young age, right? And it piqued their interest. People keep on saying, well, yeah, you're doing this great, and they practice a lot. And for women like myself, right, I never experienced that in high school, and my first experience with computer science is more towards university. And so you just have less time, right, compared to other people who might have started earlier. So I think that is something to keep in mind instead of questioning, am I fit for this job? Then, you know, how much time have I spent on it, and how have I been perfecting my skills and deliberate practicing the skill set that I have to make sure that I'm a good programmer or an engineer.
So what is the best piece of advice you could possibly give to your younger self as you come into your career?
I think along these lines, right? Like, don't internalize feedback as an intrinsic quality. Think about how much have you practiced it and how much have you tried to perfect the skill set. And I would say never say no to opportunities. But I think that's something that I've lived by throughout my career. And in fact, one anecdote is I have been in the engineering leadership track, right? And several changes in the company, somehow a position on the director of product opened up, right? And in a way, can I do it, right? Is the question that you said. Like, and I said, oh, yeah, I can, right? I just need to maybe polish some skill set that has always been there, but it's going to be a leap and a challenge. But I don't know. I don't say no to opportunities. If someone has faith in me, then let's go for it and see what happens.
Okay, so let's talk leadership. What do you think makes a good leader? And more specifically, what have perhaps you taken from others around you in order to create your own leadership style?
Oh, I don't know if I can qualify myself as a good leader, but there are a couple of things that I've learned along the way. I think it's always be a good listener, because a leader is only powerful if you get the team to work, right? I mean, it's a leader. It's not really not about yourself. It's about how you empower the team. So your role is more like facilitation and giving the team enough context for them to succeed. And I think the core skill here is empathy and listening, because the team is closer. They are forever going to be closer to the context of what they're working on than you. If they are not, then you would be very worried. But as a leader, then supposedly you see things a bit wider and you want to give them the context so that they can make the right decisions in their role. So I think what I try to work more on as a leader is, yeah, the listening part and the empathy part, to see where I can best support the team to do great work. And I think as a leader, there is always several aspects to it, right? You have managing up, which is how your boss sees you, how you manage sideways, how your peers see you, and how your reports see you, right? And some people can have a huge media personality, but then working with a team is a different issue and depends on who looking at them. I don't know. It's a more arbitrary definition what good means, right? It depends on to who.
So tell me, what has been your greatest challenge in your career?
I think it's my perfectionist mindset. I think coming from school and my bringing up, yeah, like I believe in doing the best, right? But then in real world, like, there's no the best. Again, it's like to who and in what situation and what do you want to accomplish? So I think being extra serious towards everything just doesn't work out in the long run, right? And yeah, I think I need to balance that mindset a little bit, what perfection would mean in that context. Sometimes maybe 80% on across the board is like perfection enough.
So you were named in Sifted's top 250 female angel investors. Wow. So tell me a little bit more about that. I've always been interested in what an angel investor does. Obviously, I know you give money, but tell me a little bit about that. And where did it begin?
Yeah, my interest in angel investing mostly stemmed from Yeah, I was like an engineering manager, and then my goal has always been like being a successful business leader, not just in terms of like technical area, right? So I thought about doing an MBA, but then doing an MBA, that means I need to forego my income for 1 or 2 years and I need to pay money. So I was like, oh, actually, is there a better way to do this? And I started doing angel investing as a goal to also learn more about the broader picture, right? As I mentioned, I think being a leader is being able to see that broader picture and translating that to the team. So I started doing angel investing. And the way I started was really from a supportive, mostly women community. So I joined Alma Angels. And the goal for this community is to support the underrepresented, especially women, in getting funding. So in the UK, I need to check the stats, but I think it's less than 1% of the capital will go into women-only founding teams, right? And to me, that's just, yeah, vastly unequal of a world. And capital speaks for itself. I mean, in the end, who is the boss for even the CEO? It's the VCs, and who are the boss of the VC are the rich people, right? So in the end, that this is all linked, right? So like, if you don't get the change from the top, who gets the money, then it's not going to trickle down below who is going to get hired. So I think that means a lot to me to join a community like that and to be supportive, not just in terms of capital, but also in terms of my experience, right? Like what I want to get out of this is like, hopefully sharing a piece of what I've learned, but at the same time also learn from the leaders of the companies and, you know, watching them grow in the journey of building a company. And I have learned a lot throughout that process by working closely with women founders. Yeah, so that's how the journey comes into being.
So we talk a lot about mentorship. Is this something that you've benefited from, and has it helped you to grow?
I think it's a strong area in which that has helped me to grow as a leader. And at the same time, I hope to give back in ways I can as well. At Yelp, where I used to work, there's a mentorship program for the women in tech group that we have internally called Awesome Women in Engineering. And I remember the first time I led a project, the first time I interviewed someone, my mentor, Virginia, she was there every step of the way, right? And some of the things I might be too intimidated to ask my manager, after all, they're reviewing my performance. I think I feel like I could reach out to the mentor. And I mean, like, and then I also learned a lot from, you know, having a mentee at that time, Gusum. So I think one way that helped me is also to enforce my confidence a bit, because I do have this imposter syndrome. And working with her made me feel like, actually, I have learned a lot along the way. That's why I can show her the way, right? And at the same time, her questions also prompt me to think deeper, like, do I really understand this problem? And then seeing how they react to certain things also helped me becoming a better manager, to be able to have that empathy, right? So I think these types of relationships have been very valuable. And I think, like, I'm a huge supporter for, like, women in tech groups as well, because it's like creating a safe space. For example, recently working with Rapid, we sponsored a Pi Ladies Berlin event in the company. So also hope to give back and have a safe environment for these types of communities where, like, you know, previously they have helped me grow, and now I also hope to help where I can.
So tell me, what piece of advice would you give to anyone wanting to accelerate their career in tech?
Oh, I would say just go for it and see if it's the right thing for you. But don't internalize it too much, because in the end, it's a matter of deliberate practice and how much work you put into it and how much practice you put into it. Like, you have a lot of stereotypes, but, you know, it's stereotypes and just words. I think you need to stay close to what you believe in.
Yanni, what an interesting conversation. I cannot thank you enough for being my guest on this episode of She Talks Tech. And thanks to all of you for listening. We really appreciate it. If you want to find out more about Yanni, you can connect with her on LinkedIn. Please do subscribe and rate the podcast and give us that all-important 5-star review. And keep tuned to our channel for new episodes of She Talks Tech.